Let's return now to the ongoing debate around the position of the Trade Union Royal Commissioner, Dyson Heydon. Yesterday, as we've discussed all morning, the Commissioner dismissed an application from the unions that he recuse himself because of alleged apprehended bias. He gave his reasons in a 67-page document. The gist of that decision centred on whether or not the cancelled speech he was due to give was in fact at a Liberal Party event. Damien Carrick is speaking with Law Professor Matthew Groves from Monash University.
As in the typical style of a judge, he began the question by saying things aren't clear. So he said this is perhaps a Liberal Party event or a party political event, and then he said these terms lack any precise meaning. I think the problem with that is most people have a pretty clear idea what those notions involve. Commissioner Heydon didn't seem quite so clear.
Well, he said that there's no apprehension of bias because this was a non-political speech. This was, in effect, a legal speech. The judicial stature of Chief Justice Barwick viewed from a modern perspective. That was the title of his speech.
Yeah, and on this issue, he drew a distinction between who was organising the event, which was essentially the Liberal Party, and what he was going to talk about. He then went on to say that his speech would be quite dull and non-political, and I don't think it's unfair to say from the way he described his speech, it did look formidably uninteresting, but he seemed to really brush aside the question that it was done under the auspices of a political party, and that was really quite important to the people challenging his role as Royal Commissioner.
He also said, look, there's no logical connection between any perceived predisposition and the issue. So even if you think I've got some kind of predisposition, look at, for instance, my findings with respect to Julia Gillard, which were very favourable in the Royal Commission. Why would anybody assume that there was apprehension of bias?
Essentially, he was making quite a detailed argument to say none of this is political, what I was talking about shouldn't concern anybody, and the findings that I've made concerning key people in the Labor Party, it hasn't been critical of them on a personal basis, so where can the apprehension of bias be?
And there was a third limb to his argument. He said there's no reason to find incapacity to deal with an issue impartially. If you look at my record as an academic, as a barrister, as a judge, quote, I've spent my entire professional life weeding out the irrelevant, the immaterial and the prejudicial. So if you look at my record, there's not an issue here.
The Commissioner does essentially say, I'm not a political animal. However, he's widely labelled in the media as an arch-conservative, and I don't mean that as a criticism. I'm a very conservative person myself. He's not only taken no issue with that, he hasn't really engaged it. And I think if a reasonable person is looking at all of this, they'd probably say that there is a perception that he's conservative, this is politically charged, the talk was run under the auspices of the Liberal Party. When you put all of that together, does it create an apprehension? And I think the Commissioner looked at things bit by bit, but didn't really look so effectively at the bigger picture.
There's also discussion about the paper trail, the email correspondence. And he says, look, I'm focused on my work as a Royal Commissioner, very important work. I'm not focused on the minutiae of events that I might or might not speak at.
Yes, and I think to some extent this requires a leap of faith. On the one hand, the Commissioner says, well, I don't look at all the minutiae of the emails. I'm not an email person. Well, and that's probably true. I think a lot of people of his age and seniority don't get caught up in the minutiae of their correspondence. However, what does the average or reasonable person expect? I think when you're heading an inquiry that's about to cost something like $100 million, they want a level of attention to detail that nobody seemed to pay in this case.
If, when the ACTU decide to appeal, what do you think would be their strongest argument?
I think they'd probably just say he generally got the law right, but he applied it in the wrong way. And the reason they could say that is what the cases, including some decided by Justice Heydon, those cases say you shouldn't look too closely at too much of the evidence, because the stronger the microscope gets, then the more you move away from what did the reasonable observer think, and the more closely you get to what did that judge think in this case. In other words, the more evidence you read, the more it's about what do I think rather than what did the reasonable person think. And this 67 pages is a pretty big microscope.
Yeah, but should people be recusing themselves because of the vibe?
Well, I think that partly depends on which side you're on. And unfortunately, this particular debate seems to have degenerated into people taking sides. I think that where so much money and such important public issues at stake, the vibe does matter because the bias test is essentially based on the vibe.
Finally, Matthew Groves, where to from here?
Well, I think everybody will be consulting their lawyers, and I would think it's very likely that the unions will take this to the courts, and I think they'll do it sooner rather than later.
Professor Matthew Groves from Monash University Law School speaking with Damien Carrick. And you can hear more about this on The Law Report with Damien this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN.